Nice
kick. Is it the guy that's training? Is the guy that's met?
Yeah, the guy came in with me sober. But he did audio visual production. And literally every speaking event I ever do, he's always in the crowd motion and he's the microphone.
Oh, yeah?
So that's the main advice. Just
yeah, still.
Yeah, I will send it to you. I'm pretty excited for it. I've never done it before. Yeah.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
You like them with the beard or without the beard?
We're excited to be with you again. We're going to go ahead and get started. I believe God is something specific and awesome for every single person in this room this morning, and we're excited to spend this next 30 minutes together. Many of us have interest in living a life rooted in Christ in commercial real estate. So the questions we'd like to dive into this morning are how and what. How and what? As in, how do I live out a life rooted in Christ in this crazy world of commercial real estate? And what new things does God want to do in each of our lives in this season? To answer these two questions, we've brought in three top leaders that we're going to interview and have them share a little bit of their story and journey. Each of our panelists oversees a large real estate team at their company and is responsible for making many decisions that impact the lives of many others. They also each have a strong faith in the Lord that helps them to be a better leader in their own unique way. We will ask our panelists questions on a handful of different topics. And we believe at some point in this conversation, God is going to highlight something that's going to jump off the page to you. And when this happens, we want you to do two things. Number one, write it down. And number two, tell a friend so that you'll commit to taking action on it. Without further ado, let me introduce our panelists. Our first panelist, Bridget O'Connor, is the Vice President of Real Estate Strategy and Operations at the top daily needs grocer in the country, Public Supermarkets. In her role, Bridget oversees the real estate strategy and growth at Publix. Through in large part to her team's efforts, Publix is the largest and fastest growing employee-owned company in the U.S. Bridget, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Our next panelist, Craig Kopko, is the Executive Vice President of WMG Development. WMG has been one of the fastest growing retail developers in the U.S. over the past 5 years. Craig has played a major part in that growth through the culture, teams, and relationships he has helped build. It's great to have you, Craig.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
And last but not least, I'd like to introduce you to Patrick Wathen. Patrick is the president of Equity LLC. Equity is a second-generation family business that is committed to honoring God through their business. They have 9 offices around the country and are active in retail, retail healthcare, office, and multifamily on brokerage side, development side, and construction. Patrick, it's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's give a round of applause for our panelists. So the first topic we want to dive into is the topic of mentorship. And this first question is for all three of you. The question is, how has having a regular mentor impacted your career and faith journey? And we'll start off with Bridget.
Thank you. So I think mentors are very important. I don't think that we get to where we're going on our own. And so it's important to have people who believe in us and support us. And I think you'll hear from these guys as well. In the roles we have now, you know, it's our responsibility to give back and support people and pull them up. I think we'll get into it a little bit more, but I have two people who come to mind throughout the course of my career who have been very instrumental in helping me to get to where I am and supporting me. I think it's very important. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, I talk to other people about their faith journeys, their lives, things like that. But, you know, if you pick up any biography or autobiography and you read it, you know, usually it's someone who has some sort of fame to their name, so you may already know a little of their story. And then you start to see through their life, you know, the different experiences they've had and the different people who have come into their lives, and then it kind of makes sense that, oh, that's how he became the president of the United States or whatever it may be. But then in our lives that we think are a little more average or normal, it's a little harder to see that, you know, there's different people and experiences who come in and out of your life at different times, whether you pay attention to it at the time or you understand why that is happening when it is. But I think sometimes, you know, if you can be a little reflective and look back, you can truly see how people have really influenced you.
That's really good. I think for me, anybody that knows me in the room, I'm a little hyper, and I'm in a race to go somewhere. I'm not sure where, but let's get going, and we'll figure it out on the way. So for me, mentorship, it's been a shortcut in life to go reinvent the wheel when someone's done it before, just to get that time with them and say, hey, have you ever tried this before? Has this worked for you? Am I crazy? And when they go, yeah, you're nuts. You can't do it that way. Or I've tried that, and here's what's, you know, if I could have figured this part out, I could have done it. But you got, here's the 50 steps I did to get there. Take these next steps. At least it's a shortcut to get started on your way. So that's how, I mean, mentorship to me has been really impactful. I think to your point on books, I was reading a book, and it quoted, in the book it said, there's these shortcuts to life sitting out there on bookshelves. Just go listen to some books, go audiobook it, read it, whatever you need to do. There are people that have done all this ahead of you. Why would you sit in a silo and recreate this and try to figure it out when thousands of other people or millions of other people have done it and can lead you down a path to save you time and energy?
Yeah, I've heard it said that with reading specifically, that we have access to all the greatest minds in history. Yeah. And it's out there and it's written, and all you have to do is go read it.
Yeah.
How about you, Patrick?
So you just need enough bandwidth to read all the books in the world and
that's it.
You'll be all set.
I like no to do deal. Two at a time, audible.
Yeah, 2x. I'm only at 1.5x, so I'll get there. But no, the way I think about it is, and I say this frequently with people, that God speaks to me through other people. And to me, that's what a lot of mentorship is. And some of it is seasonal, right? A certain season of life, someone comes into your life, and it may be a breakfast meeting, and it's an interjection, and that is mentorship and leadership. Some people that are along the journey more holistically, right? But for me, it's like I would love to see a burning bush and hear an audible voice telling me exactly what to do, but the Holy Spirit more often is gonna show up through those mentors, those people that are willing to invest their time in you, in your life. And to me, it's not so much business. I mean, business, absolutely not creating the wheel. A lot of great comments there, right? You can get there faster, do it better. But in faith and in family, right? So for me, without the mentors that have been in my life, I would be nowhere on my faith journey as a father and husband. I would also be nowhere, right? So when I look at the impact that those people have made on me and then the desire, right, you start to talk, Bridget, about passing that down, it's you don't want people to make the same mistakes as you. You want people to grow faster than you did, and that's what those mentors are doing and investing in you. So it's absolutely critical.
Bridget, you've had a number of mentors in your life, and what have been some characteristics of your mentors, and what would you look for if you're looking for a mentor? What would be some characteristics you would look for?
So the two people who come to mind have similar characteristics. And one of these mentors is, in my professional life, someone who I had worked with. He's retired now. And then another is more so in my personal life. But someone who I have access to, someone who I can bounce ideas off of, you know, just kind of give my raw first gut instinct and get, you know, a good reaction. But I also don't want someone who's going to tell me exactly what to do, but kind of help me figure it out. So, you know, ask some questions, kind of talk through it. You know, prayer is awesome. You know, someone who will pray for me in my discernment when I'm making decisions. But then someone who will hold me accountable and who will speak very plainly to me. You know, so don't want someone who's going to tell me what they think I want to hear, but someone who's really going to challenge me through big decisions and, you know, help me to be the best version of myself and to make great decisions, you know, and especially when it's professional, you know, those decisions affect the company and a lot of people along with it. So I always want to make sure those are responsible.
No, those are all fantastic insights. How have you leveraged mentors in decision making?
So I think, like I mentioned, you know, just having people who can be a sounding board to me, you know, where I can kind of talk through the scenario and, you know, potential paths to take, and then, you know, have someone challenge me, really draw my attention to things that aren't so obvious to me when I'm kind of in the thick of it. So I have one mentor, kind of the professional mentor, who I keep in touch with, you know, every couple weeks, every couple months, or if something comes up. And then my mentor in my personal life is someone who I speak to almost daily.
So Craig, this question is for you. Tell us a story of a shortcut through a mentor, you know, where, you know, in your faith or in business, where a mentor helps you find the shortcut and what that looked like.
Yeah, I've got a mentor of mine as a pastor, just a super great guy. Finding vulnerability and being honest, like the shortcuts in, he was a businessman, he was in faith, but ended up becoming a pastor, and to hear him talk about his journey and his loss of identity and saying, gosh, if I would have just done these things in my life, I could have been here faster. Now I'm 55, the Lord's got me where I'm supposed to be. He recognizes that. But he also says, I feel this incredible calling. Like for somebody like me, he's like, Craig, you've got to do these things, or you need to just, I'm just going to bring something to your attention. I saw that you did. And I think that for me sped up my interest in wanting to get better and learning more. And then his follow-up and follow-through. So he'd say something to me. I'd say, yeah, PD, Pastor Dan, that's pretty good. And then it'd be like 2 or 3 weeks later, he's like, hey, so are you signing up for that group, or did you go already, or what are you doing with that? I'm like, oh, I didn't sign up for it. He's like, oh, I'll go with you next time. We'll do it together. It's been a while since I was in it, so it's a great group of folks. I'll come and do this season with you. That time, I think that maybe to jump in, that the love and vulnerability, the mentors I have, I think jumps out to me is the true love, right? Like, you know, when they're telling you something, it is from a really special place. It is a genuine love, and they want the best for you. They may not know the answers, and they're willing to sit in there and figure it out with you, but ultimately their goal is the same as yours. They love you and want you to go as far as you can.
Yeah, no, that's been my experience as well. That love and vulnerability is key. The willingness to be vulnerable, but also knowing that I'm loved and that I don't have anything to be afraid of in sharing, like, what's really going on.
Yep. If it works, if it doesn't work, they're going to still be there, cheering you on, helping you pick up the pieces.
So, Patrick, you mentioned that often God will speak to you through other people. Give us an example of that occurring, you know, with a mentor and what that looked like.
So I try to have, I would say on a weekly basis, 1 to 2 breakfast or lunch meetings that have nothing to do with business at all, that are mentors, peers, you know, it's a combination of mentors as well as people that I'm on like a life journey with, right? So peers from a fatherhood perspective, a faith journey perspective. And I was in I know there are questions later that might touch on this stuff, but I was in like a negative spot. We were even talking about it a little bit at breakfast, where I was doing too much stuff that I'm not good at, but that I felt like I had to do. When that starts to creep in from a bandwidth perspective, I start to push other things out. I push out my morning scripture reading. I push out some of my prayer time because I'm trying to grab time in my foolish human way. And then I had lunch with one of these mentors, and it was exactly what I needed that week. That lunch was then followed by a dinner with a ministry that we support, which was followed by a board meeting with a faith-based ministry. And literally it was God, through those people and those interactions, reaching out to me to say, hey, I'm here, buddy. I've been here the whole time. You're trying to do it yourself again, because he knows me well. That's my pattern, right? I'm like, hey, I'm going to just, I'll figure it out this time. No, that never, ever works. And so that was, I mean, deliberately, I had no purpose for this lunch with this guy, right? And the questions he was asking me, out of genuine love and caring, like, hey, how are you doing with your family? And what's your biggest stressor at work right now? And how are you dealing with that? And I start unloading the stuff. And he's like, and where's your focus time? You said you had this really good routine with scripture before screens and some prayer time before you start your day. And where's that? And I'm like, it's gone, right? So that to me was very deliberately God reaching out to me and saying, come back over here. I'm here for you, reaching me through those people.
Wow. That's so I mentioned God's going to speak specifically to each of us here. It just happened to me, and I'm going to be vulnerable.
You got to write it down and tell a friend.
Yeah, I'm telling friends right now. So mine, I have struggled in building a business. I've focused so much on the business that I've cut out some of that weekly time with mentors or friends, and I really feel like a void there. And so that's something that hearing you say that is just, I know it's something that I want to commit to doing, and so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and you charge your batteries with that. I mean, like, my spiritual battery gets full. I get inspired when I'm with other people that are going to challenge me in that way. And one of my mentors that's in the room told me early on in my career that if you invest time in God, he'll give it back to you multiple times. And it's illogical to a 24-year-old real estate broker. As a slightly more mature middle-aged human, it makes a lot of sense.
That's good. So how do you actually do it? Like, how do you build those one or two meetings a week in?
So I've got, I'm a little bit of a organization structure strategy kind of freak. I love spreadsheets. So I have a spreadsheet of people that I like to have that routine meeting with. And I'm currently hiring for an executive assistant. So if anybody knows someone, help me with that. But I had a previous executive assistant, and one of the things on her list was to make sure I had two of those a week, right? So those people were just in cycle. So it kept me fed, kept me connected, kept me plugged in with those people that, again, are going to challenge and inspire me regularly.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on something Patrick said, too, that resonated with me. But those lunches that you have, and you said the one in particular that kind of brought you back to your prayer life, you didn't have a purpose for that lunch. You know, it was more social. And I think that's really important, too, with professional mentorship relationships. You have to be vulnerable, both yourself as the mentor and getting to know the mentee. So it's, you know, if it's someone on your team, you know what their job is, you know what their responsibility is, you know what their workload is, but do you know what they're dealing with in their personal life? Because that will play into a whole lot. So I think it's super important to get to know people personally as well, and it just makes that bond so much stronger. And, you know, I just think it'll open up doors that you wouldn't have otherwise.
So how did you find your mentors for each of you?
Want me to start?
Sure.
So I love this story, and I'll try to make a long story short, but my professional mentor, who some folks in the room may know, he's retired now. So, you know, I work for Publix, and I work for Publix from high school into college. And when I was in college, I had the opportunity to meet one of our divisional vice presidents. And so I thought, you know, being an ambitious kid, that I would take that opportunity to ask him how to get my foot in the door in Publix real estate. And so I did. I had like 5 seconds to get my picture taken with him, and I asked. And his response was, "I don't know, but I'll find out." I was like, all right, well, so much for that. But then a couple days later, I was going into my store to clock in for my shift, and my store manager was waiting at the time clock, and he had a letter from our corporate office. And he said, "Why are you getting mail from corporate?" And I'm like, "I'm probably coming in hot." Is this like my pink slip? And so as it turns out, he had reached out to someone who he knew through growing up through Publix in his career who worked in real estate. He just said, "Hey, there's this kid who's interested in real estate. She works at this store. Would you please reach out to her?" So, not knowing anything other than my name and my store number, he literally wrote me a letter and sent it through interoffice mail. It came on a Publix truck to my store, and so I got the letter. So I clocked in. I was working in the back cash office that evening, so I went into the office, and I called his assistant and said, "I received his letter, and he's invited me to come to Lakeland, Florida. I have no idea where that is, but I'll get a map, and I'll be there." And so there's a lot of people in the room, so this is a secret. I trust that we can all keep this secret. But I had a friend, my longest friend, my oldest friend, was getting married, so I was coming home a lot. It was a 4-hour drive for wedding stuff. And so this was Tuesday, and I happened to be coming home Friday for another wedding event, a bridal shower or something. So I said I could be there on Friday. So the reason it's a secret is to this day he'll say, "That kid dropped everything to be in my office on Friday." It's a little bit of a stretch, but I think that was, you know, God working in my life, you know, putting all these people, giving me the courage to ask the question in the first place, and then, you know, making all these connections. And then, you know, I wasn't employable at the time. I had, you know, a year left of school, but I kept in touch with him, and when I graduated, he helped me get my foot in the door, and then, you know, really helped me throughout my whole career.
So when God opens a door with a mentor, you run through it. How about you, Craig?
I worked with a gentleman, to this day is a family friend now, and it was one of those over the years, he had so much knowledge, so much experience, is such a wonderful person. He was going to be that person no matter what. God putting me in a journey with him through a recession and everything else that came at us took us from a 60-person office to a 10-person office, and it forced us to spend time together. It forced us to be in car rides together for 3 and 4 hours at a time or 10-hour days. And I was a young punk kid, probably, in a rush, and he was a seasoned veteran, and he was constantly saying, hey, I think you're going too fast. Hey, okay, so you want to skip these 6 steps. Well, we got a 3-hour ride. Let's talk about that today. So he would be patient enough to walk through, and I'd say, hey, Dale, I think we can do it this way, and we'd do this and do this, and he'd go, okay, let's just say we do it that way. What if this happens? Just, I'm on board for your idea. Just, what if something like this were to happen? What would you do next? It's like, oh, we'd be in big trouble. He's like, all right, so let's not give up on your idea yet. What about something like this? We can maybe pivot to here. And just spending time with him in the earlier days of my career, just we bonded. We love each other, vulnerable with each other. And that's how I met Dale.
Wow. So Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. That's a promise. It's not a maybe, it's a promise. And so in 2008, when the Great Recession's happening and you go from 60 to 10, that's a stressful time. And Craig could have responded with, you know, cover up and, you know, what do I do? And I'm afraid. But instead, like, God's good. God's hand was on Craig's career. And he brought him the mentor that served him for, you know, this next journey of his career. So I love that. And that's encouraging. And in the interest of time, you know, we are in an interesting time in the economy. And another topic we want to discuss is handling anxiety, because I don't know about you guys, I'm feeling it, but also talking to others, a lot of us are stressed out, a lot of us are worried, a lot of us are fearful, and so we really want to take a few minutes to talk about that as a panel. What are the regular things, we'll start with Patrick, what are the regular things that happen in your role that cause anxiety and stress? And then number two, what have you learned about dealing with anxiety and stress well?
Everything on the
you got
stress.
A spreadsheet for that?
Yeah. Second generation leader in our family business, and when I joke with people about my role, basically I say all the organization's biggest problems become my problems, and that largely is true, right? When it gets to the point where the asset manager, the leasing person, or whatever can't solve the problem, that's when it gets in my inbox or lands on my desk. So. The interesting thing about those is in the moment, the stress is intense, but when you back away from it and you reflect on all the blessings in your life, it doesn't matter. And that, for me, I don't do it enough, right? I just said that, oh, that's easy, that's really simple, but you know, I've got a beautiful wife at home with 3 healthy children, and I've got, I pray with the kids at night, hey, thank you for a safe, dry, warm place to live, right? Like, think about even living in this country, the blessings that we have. And so for me, that trying to bring it back and ground it in gratitude for the simplest things, this actually came from, I've got an Orthodox Jewish mentor, a rabbi friend, and not to be crass, but I was talking to him, and he's like, you know, Patrick, we even have a blessing for a smooth bowel movement. And I'm like, really? And he's like, think about it. God engineered your body to function and process food for energy, and when it's working smoothly, like, that's a blessing. And I'm like, dude, you're right. Like, and so, like, little things, I mean, legitimately, right, little things, our health that we take for granted. We're all here in this room right now, right, able to do our business, pursue our careers together in this collaborative industry. That's a blessing too, right? But so it doesn't mitigate that the stressors are real, right? You're up against deadlines on projects and store openings and budgets and all these things, but I try to compartmentalize those things and then look at the blessings around, you know, a good cup of coffee this morning, good table conversation, right? And ultimately, those things are not eternal. And so the more rooted we can be in the things that are, these are very transient stressors.
That's great. How about you, Craig?
I think, too, you know, I wrote down somewhere probably 20 years ago, what would my dream be from a career standpoint or a lifestyle? And I'm on that journey. I've gotten some amazing, I've been blessed in so many ways, to your point, with family and career. Of course it's gonna come with hard times. That's life. But if you take a step back from the problems you may be having that day and go, wait a minute, I've asked for this. This is exactly what I wanted. It makes it a little easier to hit those things head on. And then I think for me, it's probably a pride thing. I struggle at times, like, well, I'll figure everything out. No, I won't. The only thing I can do is the next decision, analyze what's in front of you, and say, okay, so here's the current environment, the market, a family issue, whatever it may be. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I can figure out what the next right thing to do is, so I might as well go do that step and have faith that God knows where we're headed here. And as long as I can make a decision that I'll look at decision and say, well, this bring me closer to God. Is this probably something that Jesus would say, that's a pretty good call? Or would it be like, hey, that's pride, or that's your own thinking and you figured it all out yourself? That one, if anybody in the room has ever had that work out well for you, I'm still waiting for the one I do on my own to work out pretty well. But to be able to say, okay, I prayed about it. This is the next right thing to do. And God will be there at the next step. We'll figure the next decision out as it shows up.
So I think it's important to remember that life wasn't meant to be easy. No one ever said that it was. And in this day and age, and you know, we've touched on it a little bit already, a lot of the stress in our life is self-generated. So overscheduling ourselves, overcommitting ourselves. I was actually just talking to someone last night, and I said, I'm one of the rare people who found a blessing early in COVID when the world shut down and my social calendar, my volunteer calendar, my professional calendar was kind of wiped away. And I was just at home. I was like, oh, well, this is kind of nice, you know? Finally slow down. And I made a commitment to myself at that time that I never wanted to let myself get that busy. And I would also say, and this is not my idea, I found a faith-based program that I've been working with the past couple of years, Reform Wellness, if you're interested. And it's all about living your life right-ordered, Christ-ordered. And it's holiness and holiness with an H and with a WH. And so it's really, you know, like non-negotiables. The prayer time in your life has to be non-negotiable. How many times did you wake up a little bit late, or you woke up and you looked at your phone and you saw that there's a fire to put out and you skip the prayer time and then you just get to somewhere in your day and then you get around to reading that scripture and you're like, ah, if I would have read this first thing in the morning, this day would have gone much differently. So it's about being disciplined and having that routine. And you know, I started to say, you know, prayer, non-negotiable, nutrition, non-negotiable. You know, when you start eating bad things, you're not taking care of your body, and that can kind of snowball, and you know, you feel differently. And then sleep also, you know, just prioritizing sleep in your life so that you have a clear head and you can think through problems, you can be, you know, the manager, the leader, support. So there's things like that. And so, like I said, life wasn't promised to be easy, whether it's things that are thrown at us professionally, the store openings, the deals that are blowing up, or it's things in our personal life that are absolutely out of our control, yet we have to deal with it. If your life is rightly ordered, centered on Christ, then it will be easier, and you'll be able to surrender that, which is so much easier said than done. It's something that I struggle with, but the few times I've realized, wow, I really did that, and I find peace even though my world is crashing down, it makes a huge difference.
Wow, that was some nuggets in there for 5 minutes. So what I heard is the onslaught comes in, the stress, anxiety, stop, take a pause, pray about it, be thankful, start to shift the mindset from the problem to what can I be grateful for, thanking God for those things, to surrendering to God, surrendering, realizing like a lot of these things are outside of my control. I can't control, you know, all these next things. All I can do is making the next right decision in the next right way, the way Craig described, and couple that with daily habits to support, you know, lowering stress. So eating well, good sleep, exercise, morning prayer time before starting the day and reading the email and getting, you know, bad news potentially. So I love that. That was so helpful for me and hopefully for you guys as well. And I would love to be up here another hour, but we're almost out of time. And so that concludes our panel discussion. So everyone, please give a round of applause for our panelists. You guys can stay up here. We got 2 more minutes. So I'd like to close our time together with a challenge for every one of us in this room. We are calling this challenge the 222 challenge. And 222 comes from 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, which is on the screen right here. It says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." So this passage describes 4 generations of mentorship. The 222 challenge is simple. Find a mentor in commercial real estate and find someone to mentor in commercial real estate. Find a mentor and be a mentor. Imagine what God can do if every single person in this room today committed to taking this challenge and being part of 4 generations of mentorship. Let me pray for us. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we love you. I thank you to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray you just give us eyes to see and ears to hear the next step you want each of us to take, whatever that may be. And I pray, God, you open doors with mentorship for everyone in this room, people to mentor and to be mentored, the right people. And you just shine a light, make it clear who they are, and show us the next step to take. We don't have to have it all figured out. You know the whole future, God, and just show us what step to take. I pray for your blessings on everyone as they go out in this convention. Lord, help us to be a light for you today. Fill us with your love for everyone we're going to meet with. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.